It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Greg Gutfeld.
I'm Martha McCallum.
I'm Brett Baer, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Thursday, April 7th, 2022. I'm Eben Brown. Dead men, women, and children with hands tied and left in mass graves. Russia says it's fake. Ukraine tells the world, see for yourself.
Small children with hands tied behind their back being uncovered in a mass grave. I mean, who does that to children? Are children really an enemy of the second largest army in the world?
This is the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've been hearing of a small Ukrainian town called Bucha. You've likely never heard of it before last week. Like many suburbs, it had existed in uninteresting anonymity. A number of these towns ring around Kyiv, and they're now the sites of potential war crimes. What a ghastly difference 6 weeks can bring.
These towns were suburbia, Kyiv suburbia. It's where you went to start your family when you're, I don't know, 35 plus, where you put your savings into apartments or where you start to build a small house.
Lesya Vasilenko is a member of Ukraine's parliament. Those idyllic suburbs are now the scenes of ghoulish work, allegedly by Russian soldiers. She speaks to us about those scenes, about what she wants the world to know, and about life as a mother inside a nation under attack.
Where you have kids, where you live, and it's comfortable to because you can work in Kyiv, the commute is very very quick, despite the Kyiv traffic, but that's a bit everywhere. So really, there was nothing special about those towns apart from the fact that they were close to Kyiv, a bit out of town, so better environment for kids to grow up, and somewhere that Kyivites would go to in the summer when it gets too hot in Kyiv. So this was that 3 months ago. Just 3 days ago, when the first images started appearing of what the Russians have left after they retreated from Kyiv and the surroundings, that is just horrifying. And actually, I can't put my head around it still. I can't find the words for it. And I mean, just to call it crimes, war crimes or crimes against humanity wouldn't do justice to all the people who have suffered, to all the families that have lost loved ones, that have lost friends, that have lost basically everything that they worked for the whole life. It wouldn't do justice, like no words would do justice for that. I don't understand still why anyone would do that and how any human being would actually have the imagination to commit such horrendous crimes. The images that are appearing and that you can never erase from your mind once you saw them of small children with hands tied behind their back being uncovered in a mass grave. I mean, who does that to children? Are children really an enemy of the second largest army in the world? What could have they done to armed men? Nothing. And I mean, why go to such extensive violence against the most vulnerable of the vulnerable? Today, there's a statement from the mayor of Bucha, which came out, which says that 90% of the people who were killed in Bucha were killed by gunshot wounds, not by shrapnel of a random missile which just hit a house and then by accident hit somebody who was close by to that house, but by bullets which were fired deliberately by Russian military into the bodies of Ukrainian civilians, of unarmed men and women.
To be killed that way, as you mentioned, it's not indiscriminate. It's very, very targeted. I mean, within a few feet, obviously. there's no secret about this. I mean, the world is seeing the same pictures and videos that you have been seeing. The Russian government is saying that it is all phony. It is fake, that it is it's being staged by the Ukrainians and their American allies. When you hear those accusations, what goes through your mind?
I mean, it's a crime in itself. It's absolutely disrespectful to the families who have lost. It's disrespectful to the dead. It's just offensive to be hearing that. It's, you know, it's just disrespectful to life itself. But I mean, it's the Russians who are saying that. And for a long time now, we know that they are masters of lies, masters of propaganda, and that they have zero value for anything that is humane or human on this earth.
As an elected official, you're obviously well in tune to the world's response to Ukraine's sad predicament. I can only imagine from your perspective that it just hasn't been enough. What if you had a wish list of 3 to 5 things that you could get from the rest of the world right now? What do you think those would be?
We need weapons, a lot of them, sophisticated weapons that allow us to go on the offensive, because Russia is shooting from more or less everywhere they can shoot from Ukrainian territory, Belarusian territory, Russian territory. So we need those weapons in, and we need a lot of them, and we need to keep them coming as we use them. The utmost wish would, of course, be to have a peacekeeping regiment or peacekeeping troops in the territory of Ukraine, because the international community has a duty by the UN statute to stop acts of aggression when they are committed by one member of the UN towards another or against another member of the UN. And that's exactly what is happening. Russia is committing aggression against Ukraine. And there's no excuse whatsoever for the rest of the members of the UN not to act. Zero excuse. It's not about NATO anymore. It's about the core organization, which was created after World War II, was the only goal and was the aim to stop any further wars and to make sure that the peace and security framework is maintained. And the peace and security framework is breached by acts of aggression, as it is happening now. And instead of acting, the international community is standing on the sidelines and watching by. So again, a call to action for everyone to be involved in Ukraine. If they don't want to be involved in the whole of Ukraine, there are ways around it. I mean, I don't think that the international community is too keen on having a food crisis blow up in their faces as early as second half of 2022. And that will be happening if the Ukrainian farmers cannot sow the fields or collect the harvest. So again, peacekeeping missions and protection missions could be on the ground to protect the fields and to protect the crops which are being planted in Ukraine. Ukraine is called the breadbasket of Europe for a reason. And today it's not just the breadbasket of Europe, but also the breadbasket of North Africa and the Middle East. Then there's also the sanctions, which must be going on, because apart from the military aid and the army, which is able to save Ukraine, it's the sanctions which essentially are in itself a weapon to weaken Russia from the inside. A strong Russia means a Russia that can feed its army and pay its army to do more and to kill more Ukrainians. We want that stopped. How can we do it? By weakening Russia's economy. Oil and gas embargo, but a full embargo, not like the one we are seeing today, that, oh, maybe we will stop using Russian oil and gas in the future somewhere. And, you know, today for me, it's very strange when everybody is so happy about these sanctions being applied to Russian ships and or ships going under the Russian flag. that's nonsense, because there's the exemption of these ships being admitted into ports if they are carrying energy resources. So again, the embargo is just not there, and it's just not happening. And all the while, Russia is making from 500 million euros to a billion euros a day from oil and gas sales.
We've been speaking with Lesya Vasilenko. She's a member of Ukraine's parliament. She is still in the country. She's from Kyiv, and she is the mother of small children. We'll hear more from her on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine, straight ahead. You bring up these sanctions, and you actually got into my next question for you. So these sanctions, and if anyone is following your Twitter feed, they would see your thoughts on this, and I encourage them to do that. But a lot of these sanctions on Russian fuel exports, there are loopholes around them. What more would you want to see happen? What are the key three things that could actually make these sanctions have more teeth?
Well, just go all the way with the sanctions. There's no point in just, because what's happening now, it's a sort of like advertisement campaign as to, oh, look, we can introduce sanctions, but we're sort of like introducing them in half measures. So in my opinion, if you're saying no to Russian oil and gas, and you're saying no to Russian oil and gas, you stop buying it completely, full stop. The same goes with the SWIFT. You can't be switching off like a dozen Russian banks when there are hundreds of Russian banks still connected to the SWIFT. Any law student will tell you how to go around these sanctions in like 5 minutes. The same goes with the sanctions being applied to the Russian political establishment. It's not enough to apply sanctions just against state enterprises. They need to be applied against personalities, against they need to be applicable to the family members, to the affiliated persons, to anyone who can actually benefit from Russia, and who is. To anyone who's anyone in the Russian political establishment who's responsible for the decision-making that is now wreaking havoc and complete hell in Ukraine.
So tell me, what is it like each day when you wake up right now? I mean, you'd have to think 12 weeks ago, you got up, you had breakfast, you went to work, you dealt with your children. I would say that it must not be so easy now each morning when you wake up. Tell us what that's like.
No, now it's every morning is different. So we learned in these, 43 days now of war to live day by day, actually hour by hour even. So it just depends what's going on around you. That's how you don't plan for the next day. You sort of learn to live by, even when I'm doing some media appearances. I always warn that, look, I'm saying yes for now, but then it can all change very quickly. It's impossible to describe. Like, one day can be just focused on going out into town, doing some errands, but errands these days is helping some people evacuate, bringing food to other people, checking in on some humanitarian storages. And then another day could be sitting in parliament. That's a whole other story, because you have to prepare for that, and you actually have to plan accordingly. And even the way to certain governmental structures will take you much, much longer than it would normally do. And it just takes a lot of hours out of your day.
What about as a mother? What do you tell your children?
Well, actually, now as we speak, I'm very lucky because I'm with them. But I see very little of them through these 40 days. If I get to talk to them, it's very briefly on the phone rather than just having normal conversations. I think that what I hate Putin the most for is for actually stealing the childhood from my children and from all the children in Ukraine, and from taking this precious time away.
Lesya Vasilenko, Member of Parliament in Ukraine, thank you so much for having this time to spend with us here on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.